Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. This morning, the Atlantic White Shark Conservancy put out some really interesting drone footage of an interaction between two great white sharks off the coast of Chatham yesterday. Joining us now on the line to discuss what the footage shows and what it means is Greg Skomel, senior scientist at the Massachusetts Division of Marine Fisheries. He is the shark guy here in Massachusetts. Greg Skomel, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Oh, it's nice to be back.
So I saw this footage. Describe it to our listeners. What does it actually show?
Well, you know, I'll preface it by saying that, you know, for the last 10 years, we've been looking at white sharks off Cape Cod, and we've been seeing all kinds of scarring and wound patterns that could only be attributed to other white sharks. But we've never seen any kind of interaction between white sharks directly, no direct observations. And so this particular footage, which shows, you know, a white shark moving through shallow waters and then another one quickly approaching it and seemingly trying to grab onto it. And then the original white shark kind of twisting away and taking off is quite intriguing to us because we've never seen these kinds of social interactions before.
So
it all means, I don't know.
When I first saw it, my first reaction was that it reminded me of watching a baby elephant play with a mama elephant. It seemed playful. Now, I know you've never seen sharks interact socially like that before, but is there any reason to believe there could be playful activity between this, like, the scariest thing in the ocean?
No, I honestly don't. I mean, it's never been documented in these fish, that kind of activity. There tends to be, when it comes to social behavior between sharks, you know, there tends to be a territoriality that might be protection of one's own space. There could be defensive posturing. There could be aggressive interactions. And there could be behavior that would be indicative of courtship or mating. And that's pretty much it. And so it's likely one of the above. And as we analyze this video even further, I'm hoping we could tease out perhaps a little bit more about its behavior.
So there is an app called Sharktivity, and it tracks shark sightings. And there have been some 40 sightings off the coast of the Cape in the last week. You've been out there tagging sharks. What do we know about what's bringing these sharks to the waters off the Cape?
Well, it's a phenomenon we've been looking at for the last decade. And basically, as we have very effectively restored seal populations to fairly high levels, it's only quite natural that the biomass of seals is going to attract their natural predator, and those predators are white sharks. And so as the seals are piled up all along Massachusetts coastline, even into the Gulf of Maine and Canada, these white sharks will approach these areas in order to attempt to feed on them. So it's a very natural predator-prey relationship that we have essentially reestablished with the restoration of seals.
So, Greg Skomel, first, I want to apologize to listeners because I may not have made it clear in the way that I phrased my question that the app, the Sharktivity app, is actually your app. You developed it. I want to stay on this question of the seals. The number that I've read is something like 50,000 seals in southern Massachusetts, which, A, is that as huge a number as it sounds like? And B, is climate change impacting the number of seals that are coming and how far north we're seeing sharks travel to get to them?
Well, these are great questions. I think the most current published estimate has roughly 30 to 50,000 seals, which is a big number. But we have to think of these seals as being part of a much bigger population that extends throughout the entire northeastern part of the United States and Canada. So this is kind of the southern limit of their distribution. And there's roughly thought to be about 500,000 gray seals in that area. And so with the white sharks, now a lot of people think this is a relatively new phenomenon that white sharks are coming into these northern waters, but it's been well established through historical accounts that white sharks have traveled into the Gulf of Maine, up to Canada, and are well established in this region on a seasonal basis.
Even recently?
Yeah, absolutely. So what's changing is with the high densities of seals in certain areas, we're creating the aggregating behavior of white sharks. In other words, they're moving into shallow areas in bigger numbers. like we would move to a restaurant, aggregate at a restaurant, a good eatery. And that's exactly what these sharks are doing. So it seemingly looks like, wow, a complete redistribution. And in some ways, it's a redistribution just in response to the potential for foraging.
So I just want to follow this a little more to make sure I'm understanding you, because you know, I think you're saying that the sharks are changing behavior in response to food. Am I understanding too that the supply of food is changing in its kind of volume? And if that's the case, is there a climate dimension to that or not? I just want to make sure I'm understanding you.
Well, the volume of food, namely the number of seals, is changing because of the very strict conservation we put in place in 1972.
So it's really public policy that's driving this.
It's public policy. We tend to want to link things to climate change. At this stage, there's no linkage between the restoration of seals, the restoration of sharks, or the distribution of these two animals. Now, how that changes in the next decade will be very interesting to watch.
That's really helpful clarification. So I want to ask you then, what do you make of some of the calls on the Cape to cull the seal population?
Well, I think it's somewhat of a knee-jerk reaction. We tend to want quick fixes to perceived problems. I mean, there are opinions on the Cape ranging from this is a beautiful natural restoration of an ecosystem to this is, you know, a nightmare. And so we've get this range of attitudes, and as a result, you get folks who want to leave it all alone, and you get people who want to remove and restore things to what they were when we had wiped out seal populations. Unfortunately, I think the removal of the seals is number one, is in gross violation of the Marine Mammal Protection Act and would take an act of Congress. And also, you know, it's not particularly feasible because we have to think in terms of the size of this population, not as being 40 or 50,000 seals, but as being half a million. That are always moving.
Yeah. So that's really helpful perspective. And it means that the sharks, as I understand it, are here. The seals are here. Coexistence is where we are and where we're going to be. On a very serious note, last summer we saw just a tragic death of a 26-year-old man, Arthur Medici, who was killed in the state's first fatal shark attack since 1936. So under the circumstances, what is your message to boaters, swimmers, others who are out there for the summer?
Well, it was a tragic event, and we've been seeing more of these negative interactions between white sharks and people over the course of the last 6 or 7 years, and of course, culminating in the death of Arthur. And it is tragic, and the Cape is trying to come to terms with it. We're trying to come to terms with it. My immediate solution to this, and there is no silver bullet solution at this stage, but my immediate instinct is, I know that in the short term, I can't control the behavior of the sharks, which are the predators, or the prey, the seals, but I can control my behavior. So I'm encouraging people to, if you're in areas where there are high densities of seals, where this predator-prey relationship is playing out every day, take that into consideration when it comes to your activities in the water.
What does that look like? Don't expose yourself okay, go ahead.
To undue risk. You know, I would suggest staying close to shore. I wouldn't put yourself in water that's much over your waist, particularly if there's high densities of seals in the area. These sharks are hunting, and they're hunting in very shallow water, and that water can be very close to shore. So if you're concerned about the risk, and remember, the risk is quite low. I mean, the probability of a shark attack is still a really, really low probability. But if that concerns you, then, you know, stay close to the beach and stay in shallow water.
So, Greg, in our last 20 seconds or so, if someone were to be unfortunate enough to be attacked, or if a shark is near a person, what do you do?
Well, obviously, if the shark's biting you, you want to strike the shark as any way you can to discourage it and force it to let go, and it will let go. But if the shark is just circling or close, just remove yourself from the water. Put yourself at safety.
That makes really good common sense, I have to say. Greg Skomel is a senior scientist with the Massachusetts Division of Marine Fisheries. Greg, thanks for being with us.
Oh, real pleasure. Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up in the Instagram era, rethinking travel photography in sensitive places. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.